Welcome to another episode of the CC Podcast Conversations, where inspiring Christians share their faith-filled stories. Please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast, leave a five-star rating, and write a review. This helps push our content to a broader audience. Are you new to listening? Check out our other podcasts. First, the CC Podcast Daily Dose Devotions, where we're walking through the Bible, focusing on short clips of scripture. Second is the CC Broadcast, where our weekly radio programming is archived. These podcasts are available wherever you're listening or at ChristianCrusaders.org. Okay, let's get started with today's episode. Here's our host, Matt Reister, the Executive Director of Christian Crusaders.
Hey everybody, Matt Reister here with Broken Glasses, so we'll navigate that this afternoon. Tim Butker, how you doing?
Doing well.
Good. Yep. This actually is our second one of these.
Yeah.
And we didn't have a name for it the first time. But
we got
now
a name now?
We're calling it Digging Deeper with Tim Butker.
Oh, good.
Does that work?
That's fantastic. That's,
we called it that after, you know, in post-production last time, but we didn't call it that from the outset.
That's great.
So just to reintroduce anybody who is not familiar with this, Tim is the preaching pastor for Christian Crusaders Radio Ministry. You can catch his weekly sermons on the CC Broadcast, mm-hmm. and that airs on radio stations. We've got it on podcasts, which are distributed where you're listening to this and other places. And Tim is also the preaching pastor at Nazareth, preaching evangelism.
Yep.
At Nazareth Church. Nazareth Church is where Christian Crusaders has an office. They're gracious to provide that for us for free, and they have done that since decades ago when Homer Larson was basically in the same role, the senior pastor at Nazareth and the preaching pastor for Christian Crusaders. Mm-hmm. And so we've been using your live preached sermons from Nazareth for the radio program, which has been kind of convenient.
Yeah.
And I've gotten a lot of good feedback from people.
Good. It's more fun to do them live rather than in a recording studio, you know?
It's easier for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it comes across better to the listener.
Yeah, for sure.
And I actually, just full disclosure, you and Andrew Nordstrom is our technical guy who we contract with who produces the weekly broadcast.
Right.
You've been working to kind of take these messages, and the last several that you've done have been split into two parts.
Yep.
Because you got about a 25 or so minute sermon.
Yep.
And our program is only like 28 minutes, but that's with music and announcements and all kinds of stuff.
Yep.
And so
16 minutes on the radio for the message.
Yes.
Yeah. And sometimes my messages live are up to 30 minutes. You know what I mean? So that works good to split them.
Yeah. And I obviously signed off on that, but I wasn't sure exactly how it was going to sound, and I never got around to listening to one until just this last week, and I think it comes across well.
Yeah.
I mean, the way that you guys set it up with the announcement and just kind of the update, like this is part two, and here's the text, and...
Yeah, we try to kind of keep people coming along with it.
If the message is 25 minutes, and I should know this, I'm the director of the ministry, I don't know, but if it's a 25-minute message... And you have 16 minutes. Is some of it duplicated?
Yeah. And you just try and go back and pick up where someone could actually kind of start in.
Like a natural spot.
Yep.
Yeah, that's good.
To move into the end.
And if anyone is hearing this for the first time and thinks, what the heck are they doing? It's what Tony Evans and Chuck Swindoll and David Jeremiah have been doing for years.
Yeah.
They take their live preach stuff.
It's just hard to fit everything into radio, just in a good way.
Yep.
You know, you just have time limits that have to be precise because that's all you get on the radio.
I think it's going good.
Yep.
And you've said you've been hearing more feedback from people.
I just feel like more and more people are listening, not only to the broadcast, but the podcast. And people hear this stuff and they think about it and then eventually they mention it to you.
Yeah.
You know, and that just seems to be happening more and more. And
that's awesome.
That's great.
And so this Digging Deeper with Tim Butker segment, which is on the CC Podcast Conversations, this is an opportunity for Tim and I to sit down and kind of go a little bit deeper into different messages that you preached.
Yep.
And you can check out the first version of that on this same podcast, which was released a week or two ago. And then this one, we're going to talk about your sermon on the will of God. What was the title and what was the text?
I called it Surrendering to the Will of God because that's what the text said in Acts, that Paul's friends who were with him finally did surrender to the will of God. It took them a while.
So bring us up to speed on what was going on there.
Well, you know, the book of Acts, of course, is the birth of the church. And Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit came upon them, and then they would be his witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. And we're later in Acts. Paul is on his third missionary journey. So Paul was converted by the living Christ on the road to Damascus, not one of those original disciples. He was a persecutor of the church. But then he's converted, and he starts to become, you know, the great evangelist. He and Peter is what most of Acts is about at the start of the church. And he's on his last missionary journey, has traveled much farther. Partway into it, he decides, and this guy's being led by the Spirit of God. And it says the Spirit restrained him from going to certain places and opened up doors for him in other places. And so he's just moving with the Spirit, as Christians should, you know. All who are led of the Spirit are the sons and daughters of God. It's not a legalistic religion. It's a relationship with God where you have this walk with him. Well, Paul probably gets this sense in his spirit through the Spirit of Christ in Ephesus, I'm going to Jerusalem. And then I'm going to Rome. And as he continues on his missionary journey, he keeps hearing from the Holy Spirit, he said, that trouble and hardships await him in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. But the Holy Spirit never tells him not to go.
Mm-hmm.
And the closer he gets, God eventually sends a prophet to Paul,
mm-hmm.
who takes Paul's belt off and binds his hands and feet and says, hey, this is what's going to happen to the guy who owns this belt.
So the prophet, Paul.
Yeah, prophet binds himself and says, this is what's going to happen to you, Paul, when you get to Jerusalem. And that's where this argument breaks out in the text. But if you want to back up a little bit, you know, there's this whole initial part of the idea of God having a will.
Yeah.
You know, there are people who don't even believe in the existence of God.
Right.
Right? So if you're an atheist, you don't care if God has a will or not.
Yeah.
And the question is there, first of all, is there a God and does he have a will? And according to the Bible, the answer to that is absolutely yes. He had a will. He can decide and do things, and he can do whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. And so he created the world. That was part of his will. He created human beings in his image, and because we're in his image, we have a will,
mm-hmm.
and we can make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
It was his will to, you know, put Adam and Eve together in the first marriage. And so you can go down the road of God having a will and wanting his will done on the earth as it is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave us this free will. And so that's where the surrendering to the will of God, our will being subjected to his will, is what we're really talking about in this text.
Yeah.
And you see it all over in the scriptures. Human will fighting against God's will. And it just permeates what happens throughout the Bible. And this little text right here was the followers of Christ that were with Paul hear all these warnings. And they think in their will, it's too risky. You shouldn't go to Jerusalem. They tried to keep Paul from going to Jerusalem.
You're
going to
get killed. You're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
You're
going to
get...
And it's not going to be good for any of us.
Mm-hmm.
So they had this, you know, safety mindset. But Paul was impassioned by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. And his passion was so great that he wrote at one point, I wish that the Jews that I'm going to see, my people, the heritage of the God's people in the world would know Christ. He said, as a matter of fact, I'd even go to hell if they could all be put in.
Yeah.
And that's how passionate he was about sharing the good news with them. So that's what inspired me about it, is Paul didn't care what his friends said.
Yep.
He didn't care what the world said. He didn't care about his health, his body. He was going to do what God was calling him to do, the will of God in his life, which is now you're getting into the specific will of God.
Yes. So a couple things. One, that reminds me of that scene with Jesus and Peter where Peter says, you know, whatever he says, and Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Peter is saying something to Jesus to kind of protect Jesus.
Yeah.
And because I don't want this to end, or I don't want you to get whatever.
Yes.
And Jesus is like, no, man, you don't understand. Like, I got to go to the cross.
Right.
Basically.
Right.
And so just like Paul's friends are kind of like, you don't see what God's doing here.
Totally.
The other thing, and this is a question that I wrote down as I was listening to that message and just kind of took some notes on.
Yes.
Paul, you know, you mentioned Paul following the leading of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And this makes me nervous at some level.
Yeah.
And so here's one thing, is Paul did not have scripture.
Right. He had the Old Testament.
He had the Old Testament.
He knew it well.
Yep. But today, what I wrote down on my paper was, do we have something that Paul didn't that should qualify how we are discerning God's will? Mm-hmm. And I would say maybe yes, because we have the New Testament.
Right.
So, and Paul didn't have the New Testament.
Right. He wrote a lot of it.
And then, and the other question is, did Paul have something that we don't today that informed his discernment of God's will? So, but when you talk about God is, or Paul is following the Spirit's lead.
Yeah. You see that as you study Acts.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I don't question that at all.
Yeah.
But in today's day and age.
Yeah.
You did college ministry.
Yep.
I did college ministry. Mm-hmm. And you're leading these college students and they're trying to discern God's will.
Yeah.
And most times, I mean, when we tell them, like, how do I discern God's will? Well, first of all, it has to accord with the Word of God.
Right.
Like, that's.
They'll never lead someone outside of the structure. Yep.
And then we might say, what is the input you're getting from your friends and people who know you who are believers?
Yep.
Wisdom of the saints.
Yep.
And then number three, what's the Spirit's leading you? Well, in my life, that's been like the most subjective.
Yeah, totally.
Like, how do I interpret
Test
if
the
it's spirits. The Spirit
right.
or if it's me wanting to go right. do this?
Well, and I would add to that, not only in line with the Scripture, but when you study God's will, most significantly in the Scriptures, it's about the redemption of humankind. So God may lead you in something worldly, but not predominantly going to lead you in anything worldly.
So what you're saying, it's going to be predominantly in line with the Great Commission.
Yeah.
And with the general will.
Yeah. Which we haven't really
talk about that a little bit.
Unmasked right here. So God has a general will for his people. Very clearly, he told all of his disciples to go and make other disciples.
Yeah.
Teach them what Jesus taught them. Baptize them in the name of the Father. Bear witness to Christ. Every follower of Christ is under that commissioning of God's will for him. Now, you can resist it. You can be ashamed of it. You can be timid. You can be, you know, but if you want to know his power and his infusion, you've got to be in his general will.
Do that stuff.
Yeah, and you got to take risks to do it. You got to be courageous to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, in a loving way, however you're designed. But then under that umbrella is specifically now, how should I be doing that? And how am I designed? What's my part in advancing the kingdom of God? Because, you know, the Bible's clear, the body of Christ all has, people in it have different roles. And we have, there are givers, you know, and God may have blessed somebody very financially strong, and the Spirit will lead them how to give. And I know a number of these individuals. I love watching them listen and just give as God prompts them. And this is where I use the verse out of John chapter 2, verse 5, which is Jesus' first miracle. So you go from the general will, what he said, I want all my church to be doing, to then at his first miracle Jesus performed was the wedding.
Water into wine.
Yes. And he was pushed into it by his mother.
Mm-hmm.
And they ran out of wine, and she told Jesus, her son, that they ran out of wine. And he kind of said, why are you telling me? You know?
Yeah.
And they didn't fight or anything, but Mary turned to some servants there.
Yeah.
And said to them, and this is the line, do whatever he tells you to do. And this is where you're getting into God's specific will.
Yeah.
Okay. And the large thing, he's told us all to do this. Now, individually, what is he telling you to do personally?
Mm-hmm.
And that is the great adventure. I mean, and the Spirit of God had told Paul to go to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And then he was going to go to Rome. And he told him it's not going to be fun.
Yep.
But he told him to go. And you talk about, okay, listening to godly people. He had godly people around him who were giving him the wrong advice.
That's right.
You know? And he knew the Old Testament. He just knew in his spirit. Now, you want to be sure, right?
Yeah.
He had 1,300 miles of travel, and he was over years discerning this, several years
discerning
this. Yes. It wasn't just some instant, obsessive OCD decision.
Yes.
You know, the Spirit had confirmed it a long way.
Yes.
Along the time. And I think that's the thing for younger Christians who are trying to learn to listen to the Spirit.
Yes.
Is, you know,
it's not
don't
so impulsive.
Get ahead of him.
Yep.
If you're 30 minutes late, it's better than 2 days ahead.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to miss it if you're trying, but you're going slow and testing.
Yes.
And Paul had all that time to test. And in that testing, it was just building in him where he had blinders. And really, Jesus had the same thing.
To the cross.
Yeah. He turned his face towards Jerusalem as well. And when you study Jesus' life, he was led by the Spirit into the desert.
Yep.
You know, and led by the Spirit.
I do put Jesus in a different category because you don't question his interpretation of the Spirit.
100%.
You know, yeah. I do question my interpretation of the Spirit.
Oh, yeah. And you want to be discerning. And yeah. And sometimes God leads you into something you thought it was going to be this. And
right.
then he's got a big lesson for you there.
That's right.
You know,
I talk about when I ran for office, there's no question it was God's will to do that. I went into it thinking it was probably his will that I win. I didn't win.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But what he did in me through that
was good.
Not going the way that I set out for it to go was very good.
Right. Changed your whole life.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to comment on something else.
Yeah, go ahead.
You look there. You know, you're talking about college ministry.
Yes.
And a lot of times in college, young people, you know, like I did, starting to own our own faith more.
Yep.
And in that regard, I was in college to get a job, you know, to find a profession to make money. And at the very end of my college career, I get this letter inviting me into ministry because they needed some male leaders.
At Okoboji Bible Camp.
Yeah. Yes. And when I was reading it, not in my will, not in my plan, not even in my farthest thinking, I sensed the Holy Spirit, as clear as I could, say, hey, I don't care what your degree's in. This is the way. Walk in it. Go be a camp counselor for the summer. And this was my first, like, real wrestle with the will of God. And because I was faithful to it, mm-hmm. I believe God rewarded me and honored me in it, mm-hmm. and then has just opened up more and more ministry, fullness, and joy in my life over time. But I tell you that because I can't, and you know this too, how many college students that we walked with that God tapped to do something ministry-wise, and I can't tell you how many parents I visited with that were like,
I mean, one of them's dead right now. I mean, who I know, one of my roommates. I mean, because he didn't follow, you know.
He didn't follow.
But there's just a bunch of baggage with parents and.
Yes.
And.
Couldn't get free from it.
Suicide.
And these parents come in and they have these worldly goals for their children. Mm. And God leads them into the mission field or into ministry in some way. And because of the parents' lack of vision in the kingdom of God, they make it very hard. And when God, it's just like Paul was dealing with his friends,
mm-hmm.
and those that follow, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And we can name a number of individuals who went on into ministry and are still flourishing, and God is using them greatly.
And that's not to say everyone has to go into ministry.
No.
But that's to say that Yeah.
No, but that's what Paul was being led into.
But even the ones who don't go into vocational ministry have a ministry if you're a Christian.
All of life.
You got to have some kind of... a couple things about your story. Number one, I've heard you tell this story so many times. I know it well. But what was the job that you were pursuing that was going to pay well? I don't know that.
I was in personnel management, business degree.
Yeah.
Industrial relations, human resources, HR.
Okay.
And I was interviewing with Amoco. And I was on my third interview. Amoco was a big, and they were hiring in the personnel department. And I mean, it was going to be one of those, you know.
Where was that going to be at, maybe?
I don't know. I really don't know. They had openings in various parts across the Midwest. And I was like, probably what I'm going to do. And I got that letter, and the Holy Spirit just like, it was just like.
Total shift. The other thing that's crazy about that is that's where our paths crossed for the first time.
Okoboji.
So I was a student. I was a junior high or high school kid, and you were a counselor. How many years were you just a counselor before you and Chris got married and moved there?
Maybe 1 year.
So that
summer.
That year. So this is crazy. That's why I call you Rhino, because you're this ripped college guy. And we had this thing up at Okoboji called Water Olympics.
Yep.
You remember this? Yep. And so me and my cabin, somehow you weren't our counselor.
No,
but somehow we ended up on your team.
Yeah.
And basically it was jump on Tim's back and he would drag us to all the challenges and we won the thing just because Rhino dragged us all over the lake and we won. So that's the very first interaction I ever had with you. Obviously, as it goes with kids and counselors, we thought you were way cool. Well, then you ended up in Cedar Falls.
Yeah, and here you are. Think of all that and the sovereignty of
God. Isn't that crazy?
It's just crazy.
And so and now we're doing this. Yeah. We're working together on a lot of stuff.
Yes.
And we make a pretty good team.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
And it all started with that letter.
Mm-hmm. That letter.
And that's just the effect.
From Connie and Gene Sorensen.
And that's just the effect it has on me.
Yeah.
And then what's the ripple effect that I've had on people?
Totally.
And then I'm just one guy.
Totally.
Isn't that wild?
It is wild. It's wild. And you think of if I wouldn't have obeyed God, he'll still accomplish his purpose.
Yeah.
You know, but I would have been left out.
Yeah.
Of so much, witnessing of God's hand.
So the general topic here, and I want to stay on this, but I want to come at it from a couple different angles. The general topic is discerning the will of God and then hopefully inspiring Christians to obey whatever that is in their life. Have your radar up.
Yep.
Have your feelers up. Yep. So Mason and I, last week, my oldest son, 21 years old, he's down at Iowa, and right before the school year starts, we've seen the Yankees play in every ballpark. Mm-hmm. And Tampa Bay this year, because their stadium got messed up by a hurricane last year, they're playing in the Yankees spring training stadium in Tampa.
Yep.
And so our whole thing is anytime the Yankees play in a different stadium, we have to go there.
Okay.
Well, this is a temporary thing and the last opportunity that we're going to ever have to see the Yankees play against the Rays as the visiting team in their home spring training stadium. You follow me?
Yep.
Was last week. Hmm. So we zipped down to Tampa quick.
Okay.
And we're on the road driving. We had a lot of
drove the whole way.
Well, we flew to Atlanta.
Okay.
And then drove from Atlanta.
Okay.
Got some windshield time and had some great conversations. Hmm. Mason's doing great, walking with the Lord. But we had a lengthy conversation about kingdom impact and how do I discern the will of God. Hmm. And it was about a lot of this stuff. Mm-hmm. Eventually I'm going to ask you a question about how do we help people think about this?
Yeah.
He, to his credit and to the Lord working through him, is wanting to have maximum kingdom impact.
Yeah.
And he was asking me some questions about, Dad, do you think if you'd have done this or if you'd done that or if you could have had more impact? Mm. And we got into a conversation about, I'm not really sure I trust my ability to evaluate what I do, and is that the most impactful thing?
Right.
Because you could look at it and go, for example, I was in politics. If you'd have stayed in politics, if you'd have worked hard, if you'd have won, do you think you'd ever have had a chance to go to Congress or Senate or run for governor?
Right.
And if you had, having a Christian, a really outspoken Christian in that role, which there's no guarantee I would have kept my faith in that journey the way that I have not on that journey, would you have had more impact? Or if instead of doing a bunch of different ministries, you just zoned in on one of them and just built it up, would you have more impact? And then we talked about his mom a little bit. Like mom, she basically has poured 21 years into you four kids.
Yeah.
And from the outside, that doesn't look like Billy Graham type impact.
Right.
She doesn't have a podcast.
Right.
And she doesn't lead ministries.
Yeah.
And she's not out here on these boards and stuff.
But
I told him, I said, honestly, when the tally is counted,
100%.
Generations from now.
Right.
And it's Matt versus Jen and who had the most kingdom impact, it very well could be Jen.
Right.
Even though it doesn't look flashy. It doesn't look, And so,
because my mind went right to the proverb, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children of one youth. They're going to be shot out to make their mark.
Yeah.
And who knows what the mark of your children is?
And multiplication. Yes. And we don't know. I mean, that story's not even barely even started.
Right.
Versus it's right. not written. And so, where our conversation ended up going was, you know, Mason's, and he didn't say it in these words, but this is what was going on in his mind and in our conversation was, I want to have the greatest kingdom impact. Mm. I want to do the Lord's will. I perceive that I have some decision making in that process. Mm-hmm. But how do I, on one hand, be discerning and intentional
right.
in what I choose to do with my life mm-hmm. and my time and my days
right.
without, on the other hand, not forgetting that God's God
right.
and he could make the most mundane thing mm-hmm. have the greatest impact.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
What do you totally. Think about all that?
I mean, two things. One, you know, we make decisions in the process.
Yeah.
But I just refer back to Paul. And I know some theologians separate this out. There are some unique callings on people's life.
Okay.
And then there's some more general. And Paul would fall in this category of when Paul was knocked to the ground on his road to Damascus, blinded by the living Christ, what choice did he have?
Pretty easy. Right?
Right. He's blind. He needs help into town. He's blind for 3 days. And until God sends Ananias to him, he doesn't know what's up.
And by that time, it's like, okay, I get it.
Yeah. And the very Christ that he was. So at some point, like, this is the sovereignty free will. Now, some people will say, yeah, God may give you a couple options mm-hmm. in your life and in your journey. I personally believe if you're kind of confused, you keep waiting and praying. But if you sense a direction and you don't have like other options
yep.
and this door is opening, just go by faith.
Yeah.
You know, and just go and see what happens and learn through that process. I do think there's tons of little promptings, listenings that you train yourself in over time and you start to sense the Spirit of God. In the end, really, there's no major decisions when you really think about
it. Yeah, that's interesting.
If you're just following day by day
yeah.
and you're learning to have your mind controlled by the Spirit, it's not becoming some crazy thing. It's just, this is the way I've learned to operate.
And you're gradually getting to where you go.
Yeah.
Rather than, it's not like you got to where you went like in a day.
Totally.
It's a process.
Totally. And that's what I'm talking with my son about the same thing along the way. Is he the waiting on God, the listening,
yeah.
the being proactive in the waiting, the being productive in the waiting. But then there are defining moments where the Holy Spirit shows up. And if you're seeking him, he's not going to like leave you blind where yeah. you can't figure him out, you know?
I think the way that you frame this message, this sermon that we're talking about, yeah. where you start with the general will of God.
Yeah.
If you stay in the general will mm-hmm. of God, and I'm not talking about, like earlier when we talked about the general will of God, you're talking about the Great Commission, the things that God wants for all believers.
Right.
But I'm saying even stuff like God's general will includes don't sleep with a girl before you're married.
Right.
So, I mean,
provide for your family.
Yeah. Don't be lazy.
Right.
Don't be a sluggard.
Totally.
Treat people the way they should be treated.
Yeah, this love is all, God with all your heart.
Yes, this is love all general neighbor. Will stuff.
Yes.
So when you don't know what your specific call is.
You're just doing all that stuff.
But stay in.
Prayerfully.
Which honestly, that's plenty to keep you busy.
It's a great way to live too.
Yeah.
I mean, a disciplined, loving,
and the reason I keep doing this life. Is I'm imagining a full 360 degree.
Yeah.
360 degrees worth of options.
Totally.
When you stay within the will of God,
yeah.
you've got it narrowed down to a fairly narrow swath of things.
Yes.
You know, it cuts out a lot of possibilities.
Yeah, totally.
And so now, I'm only concerned with discerning my options within this instead of all this.
Totally.
And
I will just say, if you're doing all of life right before God, it's going to eventually focus you to the kingdom of God in eternity, because he doesn't want us loving this world. You know, we can enjoy this world and have a lot of fun in it, but his purpose right now is redemption.
Yeah.
I mean, his will right now is redeeming lost souls,
yep,
drawing us into him, and then enjoying the fullness of life as much as we can this side of heaven. So I'm thinking specifically right now, my wife, God's will to raise our children. We felt by the Spirit of God to stay home with them, like, you know, you guys have. But once they both went off to school, we sent them to public school knowing we were discipling them at home. This was, you know, whatever, 20 years ago.
Yep.
And we had a great piece about that. And then my wife started saying, now the kids are gone to school, I want a job that fits in with what I know God has called me to do. Be a mom in the mornings, be a mom when they get home, be available at school. So God, what is it? And for a year and a half we prayed, you know, and then all of a sudden he gave her this idea to open a store in our barn. Well, that's you wouldn't think that's kingdom work.
Oh, but I mean,
but it was so clear from God for her.
Yes.
And God has shaped it into a kingdom building business.
Yes.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, if you go worldly, you're going to miss the sort of the glory of how God works. And God has used that far more than I ever dreamed.
Yeah.
In so many people's lives.
Yeah.
And that is a very specific calling on her life.
Yep.
And not everybody's called to do that. But I believe, and this is Ephesians 2:10, God has put us in him, and he's prepared specific things in advance for each of us. That's very clear. And so what is it for Mason? What is it? We don't know. What is what's left for you and I?
Right.
But the adventure is finding out.
You know, one of the things that we talked about when we were on the road, when we were talking about this, and I brought up Ephesians 2:10, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that he prepared beforehand for us to do. So there's a certain amount of, there's stuff that was set out for Mason or Ike or you or me or Chris or Jen to do from beforehand.
Yes, long before.
And you were created to do this, and so it's this process of discovering what that is.
Yeah.
And so Mason had a great question, which was, well, why would you do anything? Yeah. Why wouldn't you just sit and wait for that to be revealed? And if these good works are prepared beforehand, God's going to get you to the point where you're doing them.
Right.
And it kind of gets into this sovereignty thing too.
Totally.
But one of the things I say to people who bring that up is like, they'll be like, I'm just going to sit on the couch until God tells me what to do, until God motivates me. And then what we say, like, you can't just advocate people sitting on the couch waiting around on God.
Right.
And what I would, and I said this to Mason, I said, you're walking with Christ.
Yep.
You're filled by the Spirit. Go sit on the couch.
Yeah. See how comfortable it is.
Yeah.
After.
See how long that lasts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
Try it.
Totally.
And it's like, you're not going to be able to.
You're not going to have a life.
No.
And this is sort of the drunkenness that happens in a prosperity culture.
Yes.
Is we're allowed to sit there and be soft in this.
And get by with it. And because we can afford it.
We can get by with it. But the meaning in life slowly just gets drained out of people.
We talk about this a lot with our kids, and I just notice it. And I was in different scenarios just in the last couple of weeks. And this has become a mantra that they hear me say all the time. Far too many people are satisfied with far too little.
Mm.
It's like there are people who just live the mundane American life and they're wealthy by the world standards. They've got a nice TV. They've got a smartphone. They've got Netflix. They go on vacations. But it's like,
got their whatever. They got their,
what are you
retirement
doing?
Retirement package. They got their... Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the thing is I just got done before this podcast. I interviewed Sarah Buzinski, who's the state director for Iowa for LifeWise. You need to go listen to that podcast if you haven't heard it. You know Sarah's story.
Yeah.
And her story is one of slowly discovering the specific will of God.
Yes.
And it's crazy because she was just this regular mom who turned the radio on one day, heard an interview about this ministry that wants to take the Bible to public school kids in a legal way.
Yep.
And
she has an anointing for it. And it's like a calling on her life.
Yeah, she leans into it. And the last, we had, you and I talked to her a year and a half ago on a podcast.
Yep.
Our first episode with Sarah. Now we just recorded our second episode. Yeah. She caught us up. I mean, what the Lord has done with that is crazy.
Yeah.
And it's beyond what she ever would have imagined. And she is living life exhilarating, fulfilled, a little worn out.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't love all the arrows and, you know, it's stressful, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like people, you can live on the edge of this
stuff. Totally. Totally.
Why aren't you doing this? Totally. This is life.
Yes. I mean, we're sold a bill of goods in the world. You know what I mean? And that's what I felt, why this message inspired me so much. And you know, you study Paul and you over time in history, and I don't know, the Lord just maybe reinvigorates it. But how many men have you met passionate like Paul?
Not a lot.
And
right?
Why not?
Right.
Like, why not? Do we lack the vision of eternity? Do we lack an understanding of these realities? Yeah, I remember I was with a pastor one time, and he was talking about Chuck Swindoll, who just kept preaching and preaching and preaching. You know, he's a passionate preacher.
Yeah.
And I said, he was a little younger, and Chuck's out there a couple decades ahead of him. And this pastor was starting to slow down a little. And I said, well, what do you think of Chuck Swindoll? And he said, I don't know, he kind of scares me a little bit. And I'm like, good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're like winding it down. Like, why are you winding it down?
Right. Now, health issues or whatever, but don't you want to steward your whole life just to give the best you can? I mean, that's what you get when you study Paul, you know?
This is something that I wrote down that would fit right here. You quoted Martin Luther King Jr. If you've got nothing worth dying for, you've really got nothing worth living for.
Yeah.
And that's telling, because Paul was willing to die to go to Jerusalem.
Totally.
The thing I thought about, though, is there are plenty of people giving something, living for something they would die for, but it's not really ultimately a kingdom thing.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So even the litmus test of something worth dying for isn't enough to get you to what we're talking about.
Totally.
So, like, there's a lot of moms or dads who'd be like, I would die for my kids to have to be successful, all
right? Right.
Well, toward what ultimate end?
Right, right.
And just because you're willing to die for something doesn't mean
it's totally right.
You're chasing the right thing.
Or it's not an idol.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
We talked a little bit about this when I talked to you on the phone earlier today. Here at Nazareth, they have this process every fall called Time and Talent.
Yeah, yeah. I've already followed up on that conversation.
Where people fill out, what am I going to pledge financially for the upcoming year? And what am
time,
I going to...
Time, talent, and resources.
What am I going to... Yeah. What am I going to give my time to?
Yep.
And having grown up in this church, I've been familiar with that process. I was on staff and I was part of shaping it. And I look back and go, man, I think we missed something back in the day, because what it would be is like you get a trifold brochure.
Yeah.
And it's got these like 35 things
that
the church needs done.
Yeah.
So you can help with parking.
Yep.
You can bring cookies for funerals.
Yep.
You can lead a small group in junior high.
Yep.
You can help with communion.
Worship. You can also be a part of world missions or local missions, but it's all in the church's structure.
Which is all good.
Yeah,
it's all good stuff.
We need it all.
But the miss in my mind is, and again, we're trying to help people discover what is God's will specifically for you.
Yep.
We're trying to help them discover this. Why not just give them a blank piece of paper and say, hey, what do you think the Lord has equipped and positioned you to do for the kingdom?
Yeah.
Write it out and tell us how we can help you do it better.
Yep.
Wouldn't that be a different...
Totally.
Like, you want to get these things covered inside the church.
Totally.
And we'll get
and
them covered.
And God calls people to serve in all these arenas. But if you look at that thing... What you just mentioned, Sarah Baczynski's story.
Yeah.
God called her to lead a ministry.
Or Jen, or Chris.
At home.
There's no time and talent card for that.
I'm going to be a mom to the kids and raise disciples.
Yeah, or start a business.
Yes, yeah.
And so the false message that we're unintentionally sending is ministry is this stuff.
Yes.
That other stuff doesn't really have a category.
Yeah, and you were talking about it earlier when we were chatting. Totally right. I mean, God knows no bounds where he works. Maybe he's called you into politics. It may still happen, Matt.
I hope not. I hope not. But
those are God's servants, is what Romans tells us.
So I'm imagining, and this I think this digging deeper that we're doing, I think it's going to catch some traction.
Yeah, well, it's fun.
I'm getting some feedback from some people who've listened. I'm looking at the stats. I mean, we're not blowing it out of the water, but people are paying attention to this. So imagine somebody... And I don't, this is a hypothetical person, but somebody who heard this message either on the radio on Christian Crusaders, they live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, they heard these two parts, and now they heard there's a podcast, and we're going to follow up the conversation, dig a little bit deeper, or they were sitting in Nazareth when you preached it, and they want to circle back and listen to this, and they're serious enough about their faith to be in church or to tune into Christian Crusaders. They believe in Jesus. They think God's word is real. But they have a sense that they've never really pursued this stuff that we're talking about, or they've never really experienced that kind of passionate call.
Yeah.
What do you say to them?
My first response is, that's okay, but get desperate. Because if you really want to have a full and passionate life, it only comes from God.
Yeah.
I mean, ask him to drag you to the end of yourself so that you want him more than anything.
I like your first response, which is that's okay.
Yeah.
There's no need spending time being guilty about this.
No.
Beating yourself up.
No.
Let's just get on the solution side of it.
Yeah. Get crying out, ask, seek, knock, you'll find.
Yeah.
I mean, and it may take a while, and God may use all that to shape and mold you, to get you to the point of great passion. And you may have tired periods. It's not like I wake up every day with the zeal of Paul. You know what I mean? I come back to the scriptures.
But you're Tim Bucket.
I come back to the scriptures, and then I get another opportunity. And instead of just going casual about it, I say, Lord, I need your help here. What do you want me to do? I want to give this the best I can.
Amen.
And to lean into that, get desperate to like give your best. And if you do that, he's going to keep meeting you. You're going to keep maturing in it. You're going to keep growing in it. And I can tell you, I'm more passionate than I've ever been. And I just think that's just from growing in it. And do I get tired? Yeah. I mean, stuff like that. But It, as you grow in it, less and less matters beyond that.
We spent quite a bit of time talking about the specific will of God as it relates to like things we do over long periods of time in our life. Open the barn. Raise kids. Whatever. What about the daily little stuff? You know what I'm talking about?
Like, ordering our lives, kind of.
Well, and just like something comes up, right? Right now, I just got a phone call. And I saw the name on my phone. It's like, oh, I know what that's about. I guess I'm going to be dealing with that today. I mean, it's not like I have to quit this conversation. Call him right back. But so this is like one of those
the
deals
Lord
where
works
like.
Works that stuff out.
I guess I'm going this way.
And sometimes it's like, okay. Here we go.
But
I mean,
the reason I bring this up is like, it's not always just like big life changing stuff.
Heavens no. Like I said, there is no big decisions.
Yeah.
If you're walking with him, you start to see him in every little thing. And you start to respond, kind of try to respond with him, you know, sort of ruling you. And, but that's just a growth over time and we'll never fully get there.
You know,
where Paul said, for me to live is Christ. He's saying Christ, the Spirit of Christ is operating in him. Basically 24/7. And, but.
So Paul turns his face to Jerusalem. Despite opposition from his inside guys. And then he turns his face to Rome. And then
He gets drugged to Rome, appeals to Caesar, the whole thing. And that's this next week. We're ending Acts. So we can do a follow-up on it. But God just uses Paul. It's in God's sovereignty to preach to the Jews in Jerusalem and then to open this thing up to the world through the great Roman Empire. And 300 years after, Rome would become, the Christian nation, which was the most violent against the Christian at that time.
Yeah.
So the church exploded, and the whole message is called Unstoppable. And basically at the end, he's in Rome preaching to the Jews. Some believe, some don't. And he basically says to them, you can get on the ship or you can stay off of it. I'm going to the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. It's up to you. And the Gentiles are going to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the worldwide evangelism beyond the Jews. Jesus said, I came into my own did not receive me. Some did.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, this is the time open for the whole world to come to Christ.
Yeah.
And if you're not going to be a part of the church, that's okay. God's not going to stop building it.
Mm-hmm.
He'll just move around you and keep building.
Mm-hmm.
And the adventure is getting caught up in God's redemptive plan. Whatever it is, business, politics, church, family.
Yeah.
There is this large plan going on.
Yep.
And God is calling people into that plan in their unique, specific set.
Yep. And by the way, from a worldly happy ending standpoint, Paul gets killed in Rome.
Yeah.
Like, right. Oh, by the way, and he dies.
Yeah.
So
goes home. And his words to Timothy, I fought the good fight, right. I finished the race. Now is in store for me the crown of righteousness. He was ready to go.
That's right. I love it.
Yeah.
You got anything else to say about this?
No, I mean, I just love it. Let's pray we get more Pauls.
Yep.
You know?
Imagine what would happen in a local church with five Pauls.
Love
and I'm
it.
Not saying Paul.
Right.
But on that trajectory.
The zeal of the Almighty in him.
I mean, a handful. I'm kind of enthralled by this conversation I just had with Sarah.
Yeah.
She goes from being a mom who's interested. She became a lobbyist at the state legislature and shepherded this bill through.
Yeah.
Which changed the entire landscape of being able to get the Bible in front of public school kids.
Yeah.
And she's not equipped to do that. She didn't plan on doing that. I mean, she was equipped.
Yeah, but how God uses simple. You know.
And the thing is the story isn't Sarah. It's
right.
God.
Yeah.
And the story isn't Tim.
Right.
Or Chris or Jen. It's the Lord.
Right.
And people, I mean, you and I know this. Like, when you're living in those moments of just you're right where the Lord wants you, there's nothing in life that compares to
it. No. And he does you. You and I, just basic human beings, the first time I was asked to be and lead a devotional at a high school youth group, I could hardly talk. I mean, I could hardly get the words. I didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is hilarious that I'm now a preacher. I mean, it's just insane.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Well, pray for folks that the Lord would raise them up and help them to discover this and live this abundant life.
Yeah. Let's pray. Father, thanks for the chance to sit here and talk about your ways, your work in human history, and what it means for us now. I just pray for each person listening that you, as you've been ministering to Matt and I, minister to them. Help them know that your spirit is alive and well. Once they believe, that spirit is within them. And then this skill to learn in the quietness of our heart and soul, to listen to your spirit, to have faith, to believe, to grow and mature in our ability to walk in communion with you. Work that in us so that we could be your light, be salt in the world, in just the way you've designed each one of us to be. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
The CC Podcast is part of Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry, started in 1936 and is one of America's longest-running radio ministries. We are 100% donor-funded, and donations to our ministry are 100% tax-deductible. So if you are encouraged, challenged, or inspired by today's conversation, please consider making a donation on our website, christiancrusaders.org, or mail a check to Christian Crusaders, 7401 University Avenue, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. In addition to our other podcasts, which I mentioned at the front of this episode, I want to mention two of our other ministry partners worth checking out. First, the Cedar Falls Bible Conference, equipping believers with the truth of God's Word since 1922. Visit cedarfallsbibleconference.com for free access to previous conference content or for more information about upcoming events. Second is Power to Change Digital Strategies, an online ministry partnering volunteer Christian mentors with people around the world searching the internet for answers. If you or someone you know could benefit from an anonymous online conversation with a caring Christian adult, go to issuesiface.com. Or if you would like to be a volunteer Christian mentor, please visit p2cdigital.com. That's the letter P, the number 2, and the letter C, digital.com. See our episode notes for details and links. And remember to subscribe, leave a 5-star rating, and write a review. God's richest blessings to you. And thanks again for listening.